Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning, sunshine. 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on and tuned in to House Smarts Radio with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine.
Good day, sunshine. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. This hour of the show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Rogers Roofing. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Good morning to Lindsay, to Domati, and to Joe. How are we doing this morning, everybody?
Oh, hey, good morning.
I am wonderful. How you doing, Lou?
I'm good. I'm good. Domati, did I see you doing a little, again, I'm social media, and of course I'm stalking you. Did I see you doing a little salsa dancing?
I was doing some salsa dance. I don't know what was going on this week. I've been doing a lot of dancing lately, so.
Really?
That's a good thing.
It is. I'm getting better. So
I got an email from my wife, we were talking the other day, and she said, you know, what would you think about taking a dancing lesson? I'm like, sure, I would do that. And she sent me all these connections to take a swing class.
Oh, nice. Like the swing dancing back in the day when you used to throw the dancer between your legs and over your head. And
right. Could you see me doing that with my back? It'd be great.
You're a big guy. It'd be easy. You'd be throwing people all over the place.
Throwing people around. Exactly. Right. Well, yeah. You know, you weren't working with us then, nor were you, Joe. But a few years ago, I did this whole Dancing with the Stars, this Chicago celebrity thing.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. John, the same one John did this year?
The same one that John did. I will have you know that I was part of the crew that tried to convince him to do it. It was a lot of fun, but it's a ton of work. And I did the quick step, which when you have a man my size doing the quick step, it was an amazing thing. If you go online, you can find the video. I did raise the most money, which was the most important thing, because the whole event is for raising research money for breast cancer research that stays right here in Chicago. So at the time, I raised the most money of all the groups. So I got that award, which I was very happy with. But you know who I lost to is the beautiful and talented Sarah Gindra over on WGN Morning News. She also had a really good song. It was right when she was dancing to, Uptown Funk.
Bruno Mars,
right? That was a great song, and everybody was into it, you know? So, no, she was very good.
It's a pretty good workout, too, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Joe, I would go. So it was the whole Arthur Murray thing, and I went to the Glenview dance studio. And you go there, and, you know, you start out, and this is how they get you. They're like, oh, you know, you just have to do, like, four or five rehearsals. Well, then what happens is you start, and you realize how terrible you are, and you're like, I'm going to need more than four or five rehearsals. And we would go for, like, 90 minutes. I'd be soaking wet when I was done.
Oh, it was intense, huh?
Yeah. Oh, my God. And, you know, these are professional dancers. These people, all of them are amazing. You know, they do stuff with their, like, how do you turn that way? How do you do that? And, you know, it's just really amazing. And so it
was a lot of fun. Sometimes I watch Dancing with the Stars, and it's like I can't believe how good people get in such a short amount of time. Like, did you get exponentially better the more you did it? Like, what's
okay,
the key
now, I'm not going to brag, Domati, but I can dance. I know how to dance. Okay,
so that's the thing. You either have it or you don't. Like, these people that get... I could never go on Dancing with Stars and automatically get that good. You have to have a background.
Lindsay,
and people that don't get kicked out.
Wait a minute. We've known each other a long time, and I'm going to tell you right now, I agree with you. I've seen you dance.
I know, I have.
You have a beautiful singing voice.
I can keep a beat, but I can't move my
whole
body.
Like the Elaine Bennis from Seinfeld.
What was the name of the guy from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that kind of did that dance?
That is not true.
Carlton.
Carlton, right. So imagine that on her. That's what she looks like.
That's right. And I admit it. So my point of this is either have it or you don't, and I'm first to say I don't have it, so I would get kicked off. But, okay. Lou, you can dance, and you...
I can dance, and my wife and I, when we do dance together, my wife is a lovely dancer, and when we, like, go to weddings or whatever, it's one of my favorite things to do is dance with my wife, because she's very smooth and fluid, and I can spin her around, and to Domitica, your point is because I'm a big guy, there's a lot to hang on to. You know, if I twirl you out and I hang on to you, you're not going anywhere. You're coming right back.
Right.
It's like being anchored to a big, huge cement ball.
I gotta hit the gym.
I gotta hit the dance floor.
Or you just gotta eat like me. That's all you gotta do. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Couple things coming up this morning. I'm so excited about this Noodaloo, too. Do you love to camp? Do you love to drive? Do you love to combine driving and camping together? Stay tuned for our Noodaloo, too. It's coming up at 7:50 this morning. And then last week, we had a caller who was asking me a question about smart meters. And her concern was she wanted some sort of paint, I believe, that she wanted to paint on the wall because she heard that the smart meters are bad for you because of the RF signals that it comes off. And I was like, wow, I haven't even heard that before. Is that a thing? And so I was like, you know what? I asked Lindsay, I said, could we get the folks from ComEd to come on? Now, I'm pretty sure we know what ComEd's answer is going to be. He's like, oh, it's not a big deal. But I did spend this week, both Lindsay and I, and did a little research about all of this, and I think you're going to find it pretty interesting. So we're going to talk with the folks from ComEd coming up a little bit later on this morning. I have to tell you, from a technology standpoint, what these smart meters do is quite amazing. The ability for the utility to know about energy usage, hotspots that may be really drawing during a heat wave or something like that. And then also when there is an outage, they can almost pinpoint exactly house to house to house what's going on. And so the overall envelope of the technology, I think, is really quite valuable. Now the question becomes always when we do this kind of stuff and it's new, what is the safety and well-being of the people that are using the product. So we're going to learn a little bit more about smart meters coming up in just a little bit. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, 312-981-7200. Anything you have going on around your home that I can help you with, we're here until 10 o'clock this morning. A couple other things I want to tell you about. We do have a Cubby Bear broadcast coming up. Sloan and WGN Radio celebrating plumbers and plumbing apprentices. You're encouraged to join us at the Cubby Bear. You don't have to be a plumber or an apprentice. You can come out. We're going to have a lot of fun. But if you're a plumber and apprentice, even better. It is Saturday, August 25th. We're going to be broadcasting live from 7 to 10 a.m. right across the street from Wrigley Field. Follow the broadcast there. Will be a special one-hour question and answer session geared towards plumbing with me and representatives from Sloan. The first 50 listeners, any of you in attendance, will receive a goodie bag courtesy of Sloan. Plus, you'll enjoy a light continental breakfast and a chance to win baseball tickets. The Cubby Bear is located at 1059 West Addison in Chicago. You can get more details and register to attend at WGNradio.com/events. I know that this is filling up. If you'd like to join us out there, hopefully it'll be a beautiful day. The Cubby Bear is always fun. Nice people work there, and we'll have a lot of fun at the broadcast. Again, go to WGNradio.com/events. 7:21 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
But I feel better when I'm dancing. Yeah. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio right here on 720 WGN. We can do this
together. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. What can I help you with this morning? Are you thinking about putting in a new driveway? Are you thinking about putting in some pavers? How about a new roof or windows? Anything like that. We can help you all the way up until 10 o'clock this morning. Let's go to Plainfield, Illinois, where Sandy called in. Sandy, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. I got a dining room table from a friend, and they were smokers. And I did reupholster the cushions, and I'm just trying to figure out if there's a product to get rid of the smell of the smoke without having to sand this and restain it.
When you reupholstered the seats, what'd you do with the foam?
I threw it out.
Okay, so all new foam and everything in the seats?
Yes.
Okay. And how's the finish on the wood? Looks nice?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's like from 1950, nice shiny finish.
Okay, here's what I want you to try. Have you heard me talk about Howard's Restore a Finish?
No.
Okay. Howard's Restore Finish is a wood amalgamator that you actually use to, I've said this forever, but it's the secret of the antique world, and it's the way they take older stuff to really look nice. Typically what you do is you take quadruple zero steel wool and you put it in a, and you pour this into a bowl. It's a petroleum-based product, so you want to do this like in the garage or something outside.
Okay.
And then you, with steel wool, you go with the grain, and what it does, it'll take the light scratches and whatever out. But it sounds like yours looks fine. So what I want you to do is buy the neutral color, so it's not going to change any color, and get a cotton rag, pour it into a container, put the rag in there, soak it, and then wring it out. Okay, so it's, you know, it's damp. And then I want you to have a couple of dry rags as well. And then I want you to go with the grain all around the wood. These cushions that you have, did you do them or did you have someone do them?
No, I just did them myself.
Okay, so you can pop off the seats, right?
Yes.
Because I don't want you to get this on the cushion. Take that off. Wipe this all down with the wood amalgamator with the grain, then wipe it with a rag. It's really going to brighten up the finish, too. It's going to make it look even nicer for you.
Okay.
I think that'll get rid of the smoke. The smoke is embedded in. You're going to have to do the underside, too, where the wood and everything is exposed and maybe not finished. But if you do that, I think it'll pull all that wood smell out, and it'll actually refresh the finish for you.
Oh, that would be great. Where do I get this?
Ace Hardware.
Excellent. Okay,
thanks, Sandy.
Thank you, Lou.
You're the best. Thanks for calling, 312-981-7200. Let's talk to Mary in Milwaukee. Hi, Mary. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. I have some carpeting in the living room, and I had cats who never used their litter boxes when they got sick, and they died, and I tried to get it cleaned up. And I still smell it. I used the cleaners that can use the urine remediation. So now I'm thinking of pulling out the carpeting and putting in vinyl flooring of some kind. And I was told that I should look at something called luxury vinyl tile.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So basically what luxury vinyl tile is, it is a... it's just a better looking vinyl tile that most of it clicks together, so it's similar to like a laminate floor. But because it's all vinyl, it is, you know, it, moisture really doesn't bother it. The look of it is beautiful. My buddy, you hear me talk about my friend Mike Jakubowski, he's got a cottage and they did the whole floor in this luxury vinyl that looks like wood. It's gorgeous and easy to install. And it's soft on your feet, so in other words, it's not like walking on, you know, a hard ceramic tile. And if you do that and put that down, just make sure that when you pull all that carpeting up and you also, you know, before you put the new luxury vinyl down, you may want to prime that floor. Zinsser makes an odor-killing primer that goes on like a milky white. And then when it dries, it's clear, and it'll seal out the odors. Then put your luxury vinyl over the top of that, and it'll look fantastic. Mary, thanks so much for the phone call. Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio. Quick break, and then we'll get the news.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini. Taking your calls live till 10 on House Smarts Radio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All working on a building out of hand-hewn brimstone.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I sent Lindsay, Domati, and Joe Brand a text message of something I was talking about last week Joe, about when I was at the Cubs game and the bullpen and how I don't like the fact that you can't see the guys warming up anymore. The other thing, too, when you watch the Cubs game on TV, Joe, do you ever get a chance anymore? I mean, I know you're busy broadcasting games.
Yes, yes, I still watch.
But, you know, when you watch the games, there's something about the camera that they have in the bullpen that looks like it's the old camera they used to do before they had HDTV.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like a webcam.
It's not quite in focus, and I don't get it. You know what I mean? That should be an easy thing to do. But anyway, when they open up the bullpen, they open up the door, and they stick a stanchion in front of the door for the guy to come out. And I sent you guys a picture that Steve Bertrand took yesterday at the game.
Like I said, it looks like a VIP rope.
Right.
One of those
Lindsay,
things.
This is why when we do our Sloan broadcast, coming up, not this coming Saturday,
the 25th,
two Saturdays.
Yes.
Right? You need to get Tom Ricketts to come over. I'm just trying to help him. I think that we need to come up with a sponsor with the big red button that Joe Madden hits the button, and when the doors open, right, like there could be like a, you know, like the angels singing, and then there's some kind of sponsorship. We need to think of some company that has to do with open doors. Like we have an open door policy or something like that, right?
Yes.
Anybody with me? Is this on? Are you guys still
there? I'm blanking on a company. The first thing that came to mind was we'll leave the light on for you for some reason.
Yeah, I'm hoping Motel 6.
Yeah, I know. Maybe they could turn on the light with the whole
Our
Halo
doors are
Angel
always
thing.
Open. I like it. Okay, good. Keep thinking. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Megan is in Chicago, and you are on WGN. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm terrific. How can I help you?
We have a old Chicago home, so it's got the front walk-up steps, and they are wood. And when we moved in, they were painted, and we have since painted them again because they started chipping, and it lasts about not even a season, and it starts peeling again. So just wondering how we should start fresh and get them looking good and staying a little longer.
Yeah, you're not. It's not.
Okay.
I own a rental property in Lakeview that I've had for 25 years, and it has a nice walk-up front porch with, you know, tongue-and-groove porch paint, on the floor, and then nice big wide steps, and I paint it every 2 years. Now, mind you, it gets a little more traffic probably than your house, but not a lot more. It's just the weather. Which way does it face, Megan?
It faces south.
Yeah. And what have you been using, like a floor and porch paint when you do it?
Yeah, last time we just used the bare floor and porch paint.
Yeah. You could come up with some better products than that. As far as, you know, there's better paints out there for that. But what I will tell you is this. Scrape what you can. Sand it all down. Do you have any kind of anti-slip strips on it at all, or it's just
no? We have nothing on it.
Nothing at all. And how are they in the wintertime?
They're slippery.
Slippery? Yeah. So a couple things.
Try to put salt down, but I know that the salt's bad for the paint as well.
Yeah. So a couple things you could try with this. One is, so once you scrape it all down, any bare wood, I want you to prime with an exterior primer first, right?
Okay.
And then go ahead and use a floor and porch paint outside and, you know, Benjamin Moore, Sherwin-Williams. Actually, the product by Ace is really good. And, you know, depending on the cut, you can even get them custom color matched if you want. But it's a very good product. You can either add a little silica sand to the paint that you put on there to give you a little gripping, or...
Okay.
What I did on my wood steps is a few weeks ago we had someone on, we had the CEO of a company called Handy Ramp, H-A-N-D-I, Handy Ramp.
Okay.
They make these aluminum anti-slip treads that come in colors and you can screw them onto your wood steps.
Okay.
They're really nice and they keep you from falling on your keister.
Great.
The other thing is, what's going to prolong your life is You need to, for the front steps, buy a shovel that does not have a metal blade.
Okay.
So buy a plastic snow shovel.
Okay.
That's less aggressive on that paint and will just kind of glide over the top of it. And one other thing that you could try on those steps is, and if you're think about this in advance, is there's a liquid calcium chloride that you can buy that you can pre-apply to your steps instead of throwing salt and ice melt down on top of it. You put it in a pump sprayer and just spray it down. Ice won't stick to it. It's less aggressive on the paint. And it's a good idea to use on that front porch to keep you from falling on your rear end.
Great. I appreciate it. Lou, my husband gave you the nickname St. Lou because my mom and I listen to everything you say. So,
brother.
Thank you very much, St. Lou. You. I like that. That's good. Thanks, Megan. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You want to take Tom real quick?
Sure.
Tom's in Addison. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. First time caller, long time listener.
You're a good man, Tom. How can I help you?
I got a quick question. Now, we have a refrigerator in a cabin up north, and whenever we go home, we put the broomstick to keep the doors open, to keep it from molding over. And when we left last September, my brother took it out to vacuum, and he never put it back. So 11 months, we've got that fridge closed, and I'm fearing black mold like a huge hairy armpit. Is there any way of cleaning that out, or are we going to have to throw that thing away?
You can try cleaning it out. I'll tell you this. What concerns me more is, so what do? You, when you leave, you, in other words.
We put a broomstick in to keep the doors open, to keep the ventilation.
So you just crank it up when you go there and that's it?
Right. We turn the power off, we go home, we come back, we close it and.
Got it. So a couple products. You can spray either Concrobium or the Healthful Home Mold Cleaner in there if you see any of that. The coil and whatnot is typically behind the back panel, and that's where I worry about a little mildew and mold buildup that you can't see. Okay?
Okay.
So if all of a sudden, if you open that thing up and you just see a little bit, like down in the corners where the water, then you're good to go. When you fire this thing up and it cools off, the mold will die, but when you open it back up again, you know, that hot moist air may bring it back again. So spray it all down with either one of those cleaners. What I would do, spray it when the door's open, let it dry, then wipe it away, spray it again, and then fire the thing up. I mean, if it's just completely covered, then we may need to, you know, think about rebooting the whole thing and buying a new one. But if it's not so bad, you can clean it up, no problem, and I think you'll be good to go, Tom.
Okay, Concrobium, and what was the other one?
Healthful Home makes a mold cleaner as well. Both of those are available at Ace. If you go in there, they make, actually, you know what, now that I'm thinking about this, Tom, because of if I'm worried about the coil in the back, do this. Buy their cleaner, the Healthful Home. They also make a product called Fog You Mold. And that one is, use the cleaner to clean all the mold that you can see, then take the fogger with the door kind of cracked open, spray it so the fog kind of fills up. You know, you're going to hold it with your finger and spray it. It's not harmful to you, so you don't have to worry about it. Spray it, close the doors, and let it sit there for about a half an hour. It'll get back where you can't reach it and kill the mold in the back. Plug it in, and you're good to go. Thanks, Tom, for the phone call. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
No bad. My friend, Uncle Lou. Of course. At Chicago, WGN.
So he's a bit of a fixer-upper. So he's got a few flaws.
Reindeer. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Do you love to camp? Do you like to drive around and then go places and camp? You, Lindsay, that's you?
Sure.
You love to drive. You don't love to camp.
I don't know. I might camp in this.
Joe Brand, are you a camper?
I can't say I camp, but I would enjoy it. I can't see myself
have
not
you,
liking
have
it.
Have you, what is your beautiful girlfriend's name?
Allie.
Allie, have you two ever spent time in a tent? Be careful, it's a family show.
Not a tent, no. She's got a cottage, but I know that doesn't count.
Okay. Goma T, you and Kia ever do any camping in the tent out there making s'mores?
I haven't, but I think I would.
Okay.
Kia said she used to go when she was a kid.
Listen to me. Our Noodaloo 2 might change your mind. Take a listen.
Like it or not, camping has changed more in the last decade than it has in the previous century. From solar-charged products to straws that let you drink right out of a river, hitting the open road just isn't quite the same as it was when you were a kid. Now, that's not to say these developments are a bad thing. Sleeping out under the stars in the wilderness is more accessible than ever for anyone. The latest trend, the rooftop tent, taking the outdoors community, van lifers, and gearheads across the world by storm. One of the most affordable and easy-to-use systems is the Roof Nest. The Roof Nest is an aerodynamic fiberglass box that attaches directly to any roof rack with crossbars and instantly expands to create a cozy, protected bedroom. There's enough room in the Roof Nest to store all your bedding right in the tent, so it's always ready and saves the space in your vehicle. With an impermeable fiberglass top and waterproof canvas walls, you'll stay warm and dry inside your Roof Nest, even when Mama Nature insists on getting you wet. Once you park your car, you can comfortably rest inside your Roof Nest rooftop tent in under 2 minutes. The stainless steel gas struts make the tent pop up as soon as you unbuckle it. The Roof Nests aren't cheap, but if you are a serious camper, this thing's worth every penny. I mean, it basically turns your car into a camper. They start at about $2,100, but they are actually the most reasonably priced of its sort, made well and easy to pop up. You can find out more at roofnest.com. I'll also put a picture and a link right up on Lou's Facebook page. So fly on over, little birdie, and check it out. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
It turns your car into a camper. It sits on top of your roof like a rooftop carrier. It's 7 feet long. Hey, Lindsay, what I don't understand is for the $2,100,
mm-hmm.
does it come with a ladder?
That's a good question. There is a ladder in some of the pictures I've seen, so I'm
yeah,
wondering.
Yeah, I think you need your own ladder. You know what kind of ladder they use? We featured that ladder as a Noodaloo, too.
The eye ladder?
Extender?
Oh, yeah. The extend. It's just called extend. The extend. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a compact ladder that extends up like a, just like a regular.
Right. As high as you need it.
As high as you need it, 8 foot, 10 foot, whatever. You pop this thing on top of your car, and two people can sleep on top of the car.
Yeah.
And it has a hard shell top, so that's the protection from the rain, and the sides, sort of like those old VW buses where the camper pops up over the top. But it's really cool.
But it kind of reminded me, I mean, what I picture when I see this thing is, do you remember the movie National Lampoon's Vacation when they're in the wagon and they've got all that stuff piled up in the car?
Yes.
That's kind of what I envision. I mean, obviously, they didn't sleep on the car. This is a tent that is on the car, but it's kind of like as high as that car in the movie was stacked.
Right. Yeah. It's cool.
It is cool.
It's very cool.
And it'll protect you from, like, bears.
Well.
Don't you think?
I mean, the bear can still come up to the side of the bears.
Not if
big.
You take the ladder up.
Right. Because the bear won't lean on the side of the car and shake you like crazy and just tip the whole car over.
Oh, great. Well,
bears are big. But I like it. If you like to go, like, I can totally see this on the top of strapped on top of a, you know, let's say like a Chevy Equinox, right? Which is stingy on gas. And then you go camping and you pop the tent up there and you go sleeping up there. And it's really a cool idea.
I'm even seeing pictures, though, on like little tiny cars. Which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what's important, you need to make sure that the roof rack can carry it, because I know some of the smaller cars, I want to say that the roof racks are only designed to hold like 250, 300 pounds. And so if all of a sudden you put two people up there, you'll get over 300 pounds unless you're tiny little people. Like tiny.
Tiny.
Right. Check it out. We'll put it up on our Facebook. Not me, no. I would be violating the roof rack thing all by myself. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll put that information, by the way, up on our Facebook page as well as WGNradio.com. Let's talk to Matt in Winfield. Boy, Matt, you're on WGN. Good morning.
My realtor wants to give him out to you.
Hey, Matt.
Good morning, Lou.
Hi, how are you? How can I help you?
Good. Just bought a new house for my wife and I, and talking to my new carpet cleaners. But, you know, it's funny to get the chance to talk to you. I remember when I was 16 and started at Ace Hardware, I was watching videos that had Mr. Fix-It telling me all about the hardware industry.
That's very funny. How can I help you this morning?
So I'm doing some painting today, and I have a semi-gloss sheen on the walls that I want to paint, and I'm painting over with eggshell. And I remember from those videos, Mr. Fix-It telling me that I need to scuff up the semi-gloss, and I wanted to know what grit sandpaper to use to scuff that up.
You're a good man. I'm glad that you were actually paying attention to those videos, but probably it was the fact that you were working there and you just had to see my face over and over and over again.
I had a couple of product loops that had that you were a spokesperson for running on a TV that saw you quite frequently.
Go get a medium, couple of medium grit sponges, sanding sponges. That's all. And you literally are going to, Matt, you're just going to kind of, almost like you're wiping the wall down. I just need a little bit of that finish to be opened up a little bit. When you stand back and you look kind of at an angle at the wall, make sure that you can see that, oh, yeah, I can see a little bit of the sheen, but then I also see that I've knocked it down a little bit. When you open up that top barrier, that way you give that new paint something to grab onto. And what you didn't have when you were 16 years old and what you do have now is the advent of all these paint and primers in one. And so you can go right over the top with one of those paints. It should be super sticky, full of acrylic, and should do a nice job for you.
Okay, and that's what I plan to use, and I'm painting a lighter over darker, and those products will work well with that.
Absolutely, but keep in mind you're probably do two coats to get that coverage on there. So.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I listen
sure.
every Saturday.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I listen to it every Saturday morning.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. You're how-to.
Don't be scared. Pick up the phone. Give Lou a call. He's live taking your questions till 10 right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
I want to be your how-to guy. How you doing? Welcome back. Break it up, Berg. It's against the law. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and by Fox Home Center. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I don't have a Manfredini child in the state of Illinois right now. My Carmen, as you know, our daughter Carmen lives in California, and our youngest son Max is visiting her, which is fun. They're like tramps. He's convinced he's going to walk around L.A. and see all the celebrities just walking around, like, you know, buying organic fruit.
With a name tag on.
With a name tag on.
Hi, my name
Look
is
at me.
Brad Pitt.
I'm Brad Pitt. I'm here buying some peaches. So hopefully he sees somebody. And then Mallory's in Minnesota, and Quinn's on his way to New York. We are like empty
wow.
nesters.
So you're saying no one can babysit for us tonight.
There's no Manfredini that can babysit for the Smithwicks, unfortunately. Sorry. But they'll be back. Don't worry. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lori is in Buffalo Grove. Lori, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for being our how-to guy.
No, you're welcome. How can I help you?
I had called you earlier in the summer. We had new air conditioning and furnace installed and to replace our 25-year-old unit.
Okay.
And the air conditioning, as it's working this summer, doesn't reach what's set at the thermostat consistently. And you had me ask them to come and check the evaporator coil and the plenum. I finally did get them to come. They had said that my air filter was too thick. And so they replaced the air filter, and
Was it air filter that they put in or that you put in?
Yes. The air filter was the same that I'd always used, and they replaced it with a thinner filter.
Okay.
But it made no difference. So if the thermostat is set at 70, by the afternoon, it can be 74, 75 in here. And it won't go down lower until later in the evening, usually. And this happens pretty consistently every day. And I had them, you had me have them come back and check the EVAP coil and the plenum. They said there was nothing wrong with that. Then this new person came and said that the air filter again was too thick, which was their air filter. And so they changed it, and the same thing is continuing to happen. Now I can't even get them to return my calls. So I was wondering if you had someone who could possibly, that you could recommend that could maybe take a look at this and see if we can figure out what's wrong.
Okay, so prior to this, your 25-year-old system had no problem keeping up.
No problems at all. We had to replace it because the furnace actually quit.
Right.
And so we replaced the entire unit all in one.
Mm-hmm. What, can I ask you what brand you put in?
They gave me a Heil, H-E-I-L.
Yeah, okay. And when they put it in, did they talk to you at all about, like, do you remember them at all doing, like, a load calculation or, you know, figuring out the sizing and whatnot? Do you know, let me ask you this, Lori, how big of a house do you have? I mean, three-bedroom, typical?
It's about 1,250 square feet.
Okay.
It's three-bedroom, one-bath. No, it's a ranch.
It's a ranch.
It's just a small. Mm-hmm.
Full basement?
No, it has a partial basement. Not, it's a crawl. It's a very high crawl.
Okay. And partial basement meaning like is it a open staircase down to the basement?
No. It's still a scuttle hole, but it's a very large crawl.
Oh, okay. All right. So there is no basement where any cold air is dumping down into the basement. It's not like you have a staircase going down.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
In the area where the thermostat is, where is that? In the dining room?
No, it's in a hallway.
It's in a hallway, so there's no direct sunlight is getting to that area.
Exactly.
All right.
Also, I should add that it does get sometimes humid. It doesn't take the humidity out either when this is happening. So come the afternoon on a hotter day, it's likely that the temperature could be, instead of being set at 70, it'll show 75, and it's a little humid. It's a little clammy. You can feel it. There's a difference.
Right. Okay, so the clammy part of it, the thing is that when you start to feel that it's clammy, okay, that almost sounds like the system is oversized to me. And because
okay,
they
replaced a 2-ton with a 2-ton.
Yeah.
That's all I know on that.
Right.
They did come in and they measured rooms and then they replaced the 2-ton with a 2-ton unit outside.
Right.
He also told me that they put a 2.5-ton evaporator coil in there and that all is looking fine. They did a number of measurements. They said everything is fine.
Okay, but in the end, okay, so we did all these measurements, and, everything's fine, Lori.
Right.
What's the answer to why I can't get it to temperature?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And I haven't been able now to get them to come back.
Okay.
I think they.
So here's the thing. I could certainly give you the name of plenty of HVAC contractors to come out here, and I guarantee you they'll find something wrong because it's not their work, but you're going to pay for that service call. So
yeah,
here's what I would recommend that you do. I would contact Heil directly.
Okay.
Because they're the manufacturer of the product. And so obviously whoever this dealer is like, you know, he thinks you're crazy. And Lori?
Yes.
I don't know you.
Well, they...
You could be crazy, okay? I'm going to just say that. No, I'm kidding.
I could be.
You could be crazy. I'm sure you have friends like, oh, yeah, Lori? Oh, my God. Lori, she's a whack job. But probably you're not. Probably you're not.
They had seen this. They have seen it where when they did replace the filter the second time, the temperature actually did rise again while they were here. So it isn't something that they know I'm not making this up.
Right. So maybe we have a faulty piece of equipment. That's possible. Mm-hmm. It's a mechanical thing. Maybe there's something with the condenser. I mean, I will tell you this. This has been a crazy summer, okay? And in talking with a lot of friends of mine who are in the HVAC business, it has been problematic because of the high humidity for units to keep up. My own home has had a hard time keeping up when I never had any problems ever because of the high humidity levels. And we're not people that use the AC a lot. But a 4-degree swing in a modern day system is really unacceptable. The system should be able to stay within 1 or 2 degrees even on the hottest days when they're sized and operating correctly. I would contact Heil directly. They're technical stuff. And instead of, and you know, whether it's, it, maybe put it in a very concise email. Here's what I did. Here's what I did. Here's what I did. And now I can't get them to call me back. Heil isn't going to want to know that their dealers aren't calling people back. And they're either going to contact that dealer and say, hey, you know Lori, the crazy lady from Buffalo Grove? Now she's contacting me, and we need to figure out what's going wrong. And it is possible. There's nothing wrong with the Heil as a brand, is a good brand. I have no problem with that. But you could have a bad piece of equipment. It's certainly possible.
Okay. So
then,
I should just contact
them
directly.
Contact them directly. Then after that, why don't you call me back and let me know what's going on so we can keep progressing on what's happening, okay?
Okay. All right. I will do that. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the help.
You got it, Lori. Keep me posted. I appreciate it. I mean, and that's, you know... I mean, the bottom line is, I get it. We're contractors. We're busy, and you know, the number one thing you young kids going into the contracting world, call people back. You'll be amazed at how far that goes for customer service. You're listening to Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
Most people love the weekends. A little R&R, time with the family, maybe some celebrating. Unless you have a to-do list around the house a mile long. When do I need to...
I don't know what to do.
Hey, you only know what you know. And what you don't know, maybe Lou does.
I'm not that smart, but I'm no dummy.
Give him a call with any of your home improvement questions. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
I'm only one call away.
312-981-7200. That's our phone number. One call away. What can I do to help you this morning on House Smarts Radio on 720 WGM? Beautiful sunny day today. Go out there and enjoy it. Beautiful. Bill is in Crest Hill. Bill, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, St. Lou.
How are you?
We're going to redo our bathroom. She's sleeping, so I could talk to you freely. She got one person giving her a price for a cabinet, you know, to put it in. Then she got another guy that wants to do the top of it, you know. And then
the countertop?
She got another guy to do the painting. And I feel that one contractor should do it all rather than trying to piecemeal, you know, I mean, okay, when can you come out, when can you come out, when can you come out? And I know you advertise Mega. What is it? Mega?
Well, Mega is a sponsor here on WGN Radio. That is correct. They're not on my show, but they are a WGN sponsor. And I mean, here's the thing, Bill. If you want to be the general contractor, or your wife wants to be the general contractor, that's certainly doable, but then, you know, you're the one coordinating it all. If you do someone like a Mega, or also there's Cobblestone Development, they're also people that you can contact to do the whole thing.
That's what I want to do, you know,
right.
Rather than trying to say, okay, you can't be here Saturday, you can be here next Saturday, you know.
Right.
Yeah, right. So I figure one contractor would be, you know, a lot better and a lot easier on us. I mean, I had two bathrooms, but it's just, I'm trying to talk her into it. I think she's sort of coming my way a little bit.
How long have you been married to that lovely woman?
52 years.
God bless you. And have you had success later on in your marriage of talking her into things, or is that it doesn't happen anymore? Remember when you were younger?
Oh, no.
You used,
it
when you were younger, you used to be able to talk her into stuff, right?
Tidy whities and, you know. You don't want to close your eyes. You don't want to see that.
All right, here we go. You got a pencil or a pen?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you a couple phone numbers, and you can contact both of these folks and see, you know, if you want to. I mean, it costs you nothing to get an estimate from them all to see what it's going to cost, okay?
Right.
So Mega is 847.
I have their phone number.
Okay. Cobblestone is 773.
Yeah.
661-0606.
Okay.
All right, so call them both, an estimate from both of them, see what they say, and then you can decide for yourself if you want to work with a general contractor. I mean, ultimately, for me, I think you're going to get a better job done. It's going to be done more quickly, and then they understand. And if there's surprises, you don't have the painter going, oh, I can't paint because this is like this. That way it's the general contractor's problem, not yours, and I think that you'll be happy with that. Thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, you know the key to a good barbecue is preparation. No one likes a warm beer, so remember, you can never have too much ice. Invest in one of those special candles to keep the mosquitoes away, and always make the potato salad the night before. And with the steaks, thicker, always better. And the last step, before that big barbecue, don't forget to call DeckTech. DeckTech cleans, seals, and protects your deck, restoring it to its natural beauty. In fact, DeckTech has been helping Chicagoans enjoy everything from Memorial Day to Labor Day and everything in between for over 25 years. For a free estimate, call 847-956-DECK. That's 847-956-DECK. Or you can go to RestoreYourDeck.com. DeckTech, helping Chicagoland families and friends enjoy the outdoors for over 25 years. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to the folks over at ComEd. We had a caller last week who was concerned about the safety of smart meters as it pertains to RF transmissions, and I was unaware that that was a concern. And so we're going to talk to the folks at ComEd, and plus I'll share with you a little bit of research that I did as well over the week to learn more about it.
He's taking your calls till 10.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on Hub Smarts Radio.
I cracked myself up. Welcome back. I don't have a tank. I'm here all weekend. Enjoy the veal. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's the number that a caller used last week, wanting to buy some kind of special paint that could help her protect herself from the RF signals that the smart meters give off. And I said, huh, I've never heard of that. Smart meters giving off harmful RF signals. And I said, let me learn a little bit about this. Let me do a little research. And I said, let me get the folks from ComEd on. Now, I'm sure that we know what the answer is going to be from ComEd, but I also did some research myself. Joining me on the phone line right now is Dave Doherty, who is Director of Customer Strategy for Smart Meters at ComEd. Dave, good morning. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on. I think you heard that setup a little bit. Before we talk a little bit about RF and stuff, let's give a quick overview of what a smart meter is and why you guys are putting these in all over the Chicagoland area.
Great, thanks. It's exciting to be talking about this. We're in the process of exchanging 4 million meters over northern Illinois. We've completed most of Chicago, over 99% of the meters in Chicago, have been exchanged to smart meters. Now, what makes a smart meter smart is that if you think about the meter that exists on most homes today has dials, and like an analog watch of sorts, and we're moving to a solid-state technology that communicates. So the biggest difference between that meter and the smart meter is that it's got a two-way communicating radio. Now, this radio's, like modern devices, is a low-powered transmitter. It's in the 900 megahertz range that you would see in a garage door opener, cordless telephone, baby monitor. Right, so it's in that same technology. There's been numerous studies on
same frequency, same frequency as that.
That's right. It's a 1 watt radio inside the meter that transmits infrequently throughout the day.
And then, how do you receive those communications? Like, is it like along your transmission lines? Do you guys have receivers there that then communicate to you, or to like a central hub?
That's right. So the meters themselves leverage what's called a mesh network technology. So they pass information from one device to another. And for about every 5,000 meters, we have a pole top device that collects that information and sends that back to our data center over a cellular radio connection.
Got it. So this lady that called in said, well, I'm worried about this RF transmission that's occurring, and radio, which stands for radio frequency. And, you know, when you talk about frequency is a funny little thing. I mean, in radio, obviously, we have radio, you know, we're on the radio, and there's an RF signal that's coming into most people's homes, as well as Wi-Fi technology. All of that uses that as well. So the idea is your meters aren't necessarily communicating constantly, like WGN radio is broadcasting 24/7. It only does it every so often through the day.
They're programmed to communicate every 4 hours, pass their information back to our data center every 4 hours. It uses a microburst transmission. So in totality, most of our meters are communicating less than 2 minutes a day, and all of our meters are communicating less than 5 minutes per day.
And the overall benefit of these meters is you now, as a utility, have the ability to understand what's happening with the system, right? Like if there was a power outage, you can almost pinpoint it to the exact house, can't you?
We can. We avoid thousands of truck rolls a year with this technology from an outage perspective. That in the past, we relied on customers to call in and tell us if they had an outage. We wouldn't know. With the smart meters, we're now able, if there's a device failure, we're able to pinpoint that and get our crews to the right location much more quickly. Now, if there's still a single house that's out, let's say the service drop to your home is taken down, we do want customers to still call, because sometimes, like our radio frequency and those small transmissions, we don't get every single outage message. And so we do want customers to still call in or download our app to get text messaging or for the outage alert program. Then I tell people, right, if you don't get a text message from us letting you know we know, then you should call.
Right. Now, this concern about RF frequencies, is this something that has been a topic of conversation with some of your customers with their concern? And what is the position of ComEd as it pertains to RF signals?
It's absolutely been a concern of ours. First and foremost, with this program and all our programs, our customer safety is of our utmost concern. We went into this program with that in mind, our customer safety, our employee safety, and so we take that very seriously. And we looked at these concerns have been raised, not just here at ComEd, but nationally, as smart meters have become more and more pervasive across the country. And what we've understood and what we've worked to understand is that there really is no credible evidence that would suggest that radio frequency waves have any immediate health concerns that our customers or that we are aware of.
Mm-hmm.
We look to substantiate that and really, you know, haven't been able to.
Right, and I did the same thing. I mean, I'm no scientist, but you know, I was curious about it, and I'm in a position where I'm fortunate enough that, you know, people listen. We have a lot of people that listen, and they kind of look to me to give them some advice. And so I was unclear of this, so I wanted to do my own research. And initially, one of our engineers sent me some information from the American Cancer Society, and I'm looking at a document right now. It said it would nearly be impossible to conduct a study to prove or disprove a link between living in a house with smart meters that cause, you know, and cancer, because people have so many other sources of exposure to RF, and the level of exposure from this source is so small. It says because of the amount of RF radiation you could be exposed to from a smart meter is much less than what you could be exposed to from a cell phone, it's very unlikely that living in a house with a smart meter increases the risk of cancer. And it says that the World Health Organization has promised to conduct a formal assessment. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, we are surrounded by radio frequencies, and it certainly seems like this is a safe option, and it sounds like you guys are aware of this, and I'm sure have people on it as well to make sure that it's safe.
That's exactly right. And while we don't want to, you know, our customers' concerns are real, and we take that seriously. And for those customers who feel strongly, and we've had a little over 5,000 customers that have refused the smart meter and worked with the Illinois Commerce Commission to provide a tariff that allows for that. For $21.53 a month, customers can refuse that meter. And that seems probably a little bit high, but the cost of us to send out a meter reader now to a home, you know, scattered within 4 million, can, with the travel time and whatnot,
yeah,
and maintaining back office systems to handle that manual meter read, that cost is actually lower than what it actually costs us to read that meter on a monthly basis.
Sure, sure. Very interesting. It's interesting technology, and certainly things change all the time, but, you know, based on the current data that I have seen available, I spent a couple days looking at this. My producer Lindsay as well found some sources, and they all sort of confirm that the risk is very low. Besides what you're saying as well, and based on what I'm finding, it seems like putting in a smart meter is not something that you should be overly concerned with as far as the radio frequencies coming off. Dave Doherty is the Director of Customer Strategy for Smart Meters at ComEd. Dave, if people need more information, they want to learn more about it, how about a website?
Yeah, ComEd.com is a great place for get information about our smart meter program. We have links to external information, so don't just trust us. There's a number of reputable websites out there that do have good information. Be careful. There's bad information on the Internet, as we all know.
Absolutely.
So there is misinformation out there, but there are credible links to the American Cancer Society and others on our website. I would like to put a plug in for a couple of the other benefits that the smart meter really helps us keep costs down and keep our customer bills down. We're required to do this by law, and that law requires that we return those savings to our customers.
Right.
So we're going to invest, close to $1 billion in this program, and that's going to return $2 for every dollar we put in. And those dollars go right back to our customers. And now we have exciting programs like Peak Time Savings that they can sign up for, and we've already given back $3 million to about 300,000 customers that are participating in that program.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, we're really bringing a lot of good benefits back to our customers with this program.
Dave, it's an electrifying conversation. See what I did there?
I did.
You have a good day. I appreciate you taking time this morning.
Thank you, Lou.
Dave Doherty, Director of Customer Strategy for the Smart Meters at ComEd. Want more information, go to ComEd.com. Interesting. He's right, though, about that. You know, I hear this all the time from people. If I give some advice, they're like, well, I looked on Google and it didn't say anything about that. There's a lot of great information on the Internet, and there's a lot of information that's not so great. So just really look at it all in totality. Certainly make the decision that's most comfortable for you. But based on everything that I have found so far, I think the health risks are either non-existent or so low that you don't have to worry at all when it comes to installing one of these smart meters. You're listening to Lou Manfredini. This is House Smarts Radio. It's 8:48 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou. That's right, that fix-it guy. Right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Over the horizon, smooth sailing.
8:52 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Brenna is in Bolingbrook. Brenna, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Hopefully you can help me. We have about 1,200 square feet of 12-foot tile, ceramic tile, or 12-inch ceramic tile. And the high traffic areas, the grout has really gotten dirty. Curious as to what will protect, what we can use to clean it that will still protect the color of the grout and not turn it white.
Well, what color is the grout?
It's kind of a sandy, cement looking.
Okay. And it's just worn. And who's going to do this? That guy in the background?
Well, he tried it yesterday with some fantastic and a toothbrush, and it was just like, oh boy. And it's the high traffic areas. Otherwise, you know, you look around and you can see the dirt in comparison to the color on the one side and, you know, the regular color.
Here's what I want you to try.
Okay.
I purchased a three set of these nylon scrubbing brushes that can go on the end of a drill. And there's three different sizes. One is about the size of a saucer you'd put under a coffee cup. The other one is actually rounded on the edge, the bristles of it, so that you could get into like a tight spot. And then the other is a little bit smaller, probably the disc of it is let's say the size of a, what can I give you in the kitchen that's about the size of a really small saucer, like a teacup saucer. And it has these stiff nylon bristle brushes, so you can put it on the end of a cordless drill. That, along with, and you can either find it on the at the hardware store or online, that along with OxyClean, okay, which is an oxygenating cleaner in the powder, put it in a bucket, and then take the little cordless drill and dip the brushes in there and then go up and down. It's going to make really quick work other than that handsome fella on his hands and knees, you know, scrubbing it by hand. You'll be amazed at how quickly, and the trick with this Oxy product is to scrub it, let it sit there and let it, you know, kind of scrub a little bit as it likes to scrub, and then scrub it again and then wipe it away with a damp rag. I'm not a big fan, Brenna, of sealing it because sealers trap dirt.
Okay.
And so I would have...
So do you put this OxyClean in like a bucket of diluted water?
Correct. Hot water, OxyClean, mix it up, then take it and put it on the brush and scrub it. And you're going to really be, you're going to see how quickly it kind of cleans it up. And the fact that you're using the scrub brush, on the end of that cordless drill is going to make really quick work of it. These nylon brushes are great, and they really work quite well. Brenna, I appreciate the phone call. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this.
Can't touch this.
I've got a white 4-inch sink, but there's that great spidering.
Can't touch this.
A couple chipmunks get in my garage. I think they died.
The tenant allowed the dog to urinate on the wooden floor.
Break it down.
Oh, nice. Did you put that in the lease? Feel free to let the dog urinate inside the apartment.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Good morning, everybody. Enjoy the corn slice.
And House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Hammer time. Can't touch this. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 720 WGN. Hey, coming up in an all-new House Smarts, there's a whole story on food trucks, which you wouldn't think would be something you'd see on House Smarts, but what do you do in a house? You eat. Domitia, have you ever eaten out of a food truck?
I have. I love
Joe
food
trucks.
Joe
Brand? Taco food trucks are my favorite.
Right. And we, two of the stories we did is this woman. First of all, you know that the whole big thing with the food trucks started during the recession. Like, a lot of people lost their gigs. They wanted to come up with something. And so a lot of them went into the food truck business. This one lady, she makes empanadas. Wait till you see how beautiful these empanadas are. And then this other guy, he's from Australia. He makes meat pies, which evidently in Australia is a big thing. Like, they love meat pies.
Same in Jamaica.
And you like meat pies there?
They've got a Jamaican food food truck that I get a lot of meat pies from. I get the meat pies and the jerk tacos. So good.
It was so interesting to talk to these people. And one of the things that they said, you know, we said, well, what if somebody wants to go into the food truck business? And ever since we did this story now, I'm so noticing all the different food trucks, what they look like, what they're doing. Mm. And he said, make sure that you recognize you're not a full-on restaurant. You're a specialty. Whatever it is your specialty is, stick with that. So, like, this lady makes these amazing empanadas. And, you know, the presentation's really nice. And as you guys both know, too, a lot of stuff on the food trucks, it's not necessarily cheap food, but it's really good quality.
It's very unique, like you said. I had a friend that actually only had food trucks for their wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, an outdoor wedding and just had four or five different food trucks.
That's kind of a cool idea. And then people just walked up and said, I want this, I want that.
Right, right. It kind of takes away the whole sit down, hi, how are you, let's wait in here, you know, just go up and casual stuff.
It is kind of funny, that whole wedding thing with the sit down dinner. I wonder if there's a better way to do that.
A lot of people are going away from it, I think.
Yeah.
Is that a millennial thing, us kids going away, doing food trucks?
I was at Lindsay's wedding. You did a sit down thing. One of the things that you did differently, you didn't have a wedding cake.
Nope.
She had pies.
Pies.
Meat
Who's
pies?
Your mama? No. Who's your mama pies? Oh, my gosh, they're so good.
They're so good. Yeah,
if
that's
anyone ever needs a pie, go to Hoosier Mama Pie.
Right. Hi, we're here to pick up our pie. Hey, man, I'll go get your pie. That's what I always remember about that place.
Really?
People are really laid back at Hoosier Mama.
Totally.
Yeah, totally. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Speaking of totally laid back, Ken in Round Lake. Ken, are you laid back?
As much as possible.
Attaboy, how can I help you?
I'm looking to put a patio in my backyard, and I found this stuff called Brock polyethylene paver base, where you can dig 3 inches instead of seven, and I'm suspicious.
So I'm familiar with this product, and I have to tell you I'm suspicious too. However, I have done a little bit of research on that, and there's a couple different brands as well. Look, it's all about displacing the weight. And the whole idea behind this product and products like it is it's a what would you call it? Like it's a plastic framework, right?
Mm-hmm.
You dig down, you connect them together, and it creates this sort of monolith. And then you put the sand on top, and everything sits on top of there. Here's my only concern, is that you live in Round Lake. No. And I mean that not like, what are you doing living in Round Lake, but in the Midwest in general. Because we get a thaw freeze, and though they claim it's really good and it's effective there, I think it's probably a really good choice if you lived in Tennessee or, you know, someplace where the climate is a little bit more temperate. So I'm suspicious. I agree. How big of a patio are we going to do?
We were thinking 12 by 16, maybe.
All right, so it's not that big, and you're going to do it yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Saves a lot of time. It saves a lot of time. It saves a lot of your back. And, you know, probably something like that you're talking about. And it's pretty affordable, right? Something like that. Are you talking about $800 or so for a product?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I've done a little research on it. I am concerned about the freeze-thaw. However, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, there's a system that's used for decks and I'm going to blank on the name of it, but essentially, you know, if you're going to build a deck and you would pour concrete down inside the ground and then you'd put the posts on top of it, you know, you're trying to displace, get below the frost level, but they make this polyethylene system that's like a big giant bell that you literally just bury in the ground, and it's a nice wide footprint, almost like the foot of an elephant, right? And then it narrows at the top. And they have tested this in our climate and have found that the deck really doesn't move, and there's enough give in it all once it's anchored to the house that you don't need to put the concrete down, and it's actually more forgiving and less susceptible to sinking and whatever. So I don't have a definitive answer for you, Ken.
Okay.
I think it'll work, but I've never put it on, and I'm worried about the freeze thaw.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's all right. I'd rather have an honest answer than a dishonest one. So
Lou told me this thing is going to work, and look at it. Looks like it looks like the rolling hills in Ireland, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, and if worse comes to worse, I take it up and I do it the right way.
Well. The only problem is you're out $800.
Yeah, but that'll be 3 years down the road, and I can live with that.
How about you? Give it a shot. Send me some pictures.
Will do. Thanks, Lou.
You got it, Ken. Good luck. I appreciate you calling. 312-981-7200. Barbara is in Chicago. Barbara, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. We listen to you every Saturday.
You're the best. How can I help you?
You're our go-to man.
Oh, I love that. I'm go-to. I'm St. Lou. What else?
You're everything.
I'm how-to.
Let me tell you, Lou.
I'm trying. How can I help you?
Well, we had a new asphalt driveway put in. We had our old one torn out, and it was 2 weeks ago. And we have about 170-foot drive, okay? So it's a long drive. But ever since they put it in, we've had issues. With that big rain that came, we've got puddles everywhere, and they didn't pitch it right. It's going right into our house, like. And the other thing that is my concern, and I want to ask you, is they went up to the windowsills. They even covered our flashing on our windows. I don't think that's proper. To go up to your windowsill.
Wait, you have windows at ground level?
Yes. Now, what this is our house. This driveway is between our neighbors and ours. Mm-hmm. So she wanted to do a little bit along her driveway, along her house, along with our driveway. She's got windows with cement sills. We've got windows at the lower level also, you know, along the driveway. Mm-hmm. But when they poured this, they poured it right up to the windowsill.
With no expansion joint?
No. Oh, no. No expansion joint. Was there supposed to be an expansion joint in it?
I mean, it would be preferred.
Yeah, no. No expansion joint. And we're getting all the puddles, but the water, they did not pitch it. They'd never removed any gravel, Lou. There was great big huge stone in there that was there when they removed the old blacktop, and they didn't remove it. They didn't grade it. They didn't laser it. They didn't do anything. They just took 12-foot, 10-foot pieces of, a level and put it down on the gravel, and that's what they did all over. Mm-hmm. And we kept telling them, you're not pitching it. It's got to go down the driveway. We've never had a problem. It's always gone down our driveway. And now we've got an issue. And we don't know what to do now.
Where did you find these people?
Well, they were referred to us about 15 years ago. We know somebody that knew them.
Right.
And somebody that still works for them.
Have we paid them already?
Yes, we have paid them. They did come back out. Last week, and then the father came out the other day, Friday, and he said they would come back and they would, I guess they're going to have to cut it and tear it back up. And I kept asking them, you're not supposed to go up to windowsills. I don't believe that that's right. Our capping is even covered. And they never answered me on that one. Mm-hmm. But they never pitched it. It's not pitched right at all. It's just terrible.
So a couple things. I hope that the person you know, lives up to what they said. But if you've got all this issue where it's not pitched correctly, you know, sometimes when there's puddling, they can come back. There's a machine that can come back, and they can heat it up, and they can apply.
They did that once, but it didn't work.
Right. So if that didn't work, their only alternative is to tear it up and redo it. And then what you have to be assured of, what they have to do is they have to put in the right amount of stone, Barbara, with any kind of driveway, whether it's asphalt or concrete. The base is the most important thing. It's not the finish coat on the top. That base has to be pitched correctly. It has to be compacted correctly so that nothing moves. So when they apply the the finished product, whatever it is, asphalt or whatever, you can look. Are you looking at my breakfast? Is that what you're looking at right there?
I was.
Right,
yes, there? That's
yeah.
Amazing.
When they apply that, that gets compacted and it follows whatever the base is. And so, what I would talk to this new owner or the owner about when they come back, and you need to stay on them, is you're going to have to take this up. You're going to have to compact the stone. I'd like some expansion joint around the sills so that as this expands and contracts, it doesn't go up against the building. Asphalt does not expand and contract as much as concrete does, but it's still a good idea. It's a better professional job. And at this point,
is there supposed to be expansion along the whole base of the
wherever the drive touches the house.
Oh, see, now he's got it all up on the brick, and it's not supposed to be up on the brick.
No.
No, and the father even said to us when he first came out, oh, he says, you're not supposed to be up on the, it won't be up on the brick, it's got to be on the foundation. Well, we're up on the brick, we're up on our windowsills.
it needs to come out, and you need to stay on these people to come back out there. I mean, you know, the problem, Barbara, is that in this situation you have, you've paid them, And now you got to try and get them back, and so the incentive to come back is problematic. So you really need to stay on them to get this fixed and get on their schedule, because they are going to be so busy that they're not going to have time to come back. So you want to make sure that they come back. Okay, appreciate the phone call. I'm so sorry you're having those problems. By the way, this hour of House Smarts Radio is brought to you by Permaseal Basement Systems and by Ace Hardware and our friends at wetandforget.com. It's 9:23 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Got a problem around your house you just can't figure out? You might want to call Lou, just saying. He's taking your calls live right here, right now on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you. Thank you so much for listening. 9:26 in the morning. Let's stay down south and go to Palos Heights. Jim is on the line. Jim, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking a call. I really appreciate this.
Of course.
And talk about timing. That last commercial you had just before you went back on air about from Fox Home Center.
Yeah.
It was about the item I'm calling about.
Okay.
The brand, but anyhow, we're just wrapping up finishing our basement, and the next step is paint and floor. Okay. I wanted to go carpeting. My wife had seen this interlocking vinyl plank. Solid vinyl, I believe, and she wants to go with that. I'm just wondering what your opinion was.
You like being married to that woman?
Oh, she's great. Yeah. Yeah, no, she is super, super.
Is she in the room? That's why you're saying that? You can tell me. You can tell me.
She's out to breakfast with the girls again. She's retired now.
I have to tell you, I really do like this luxury vinyl product. You know, this is one of those things where the technology and the design and style has really kind of come full circle. What they did is they took the ability of all these laminate floors that were rigid. They don't really like below-grade application, even though they've come up with some that can be used down there. But they're not as flexible. And the issue is if you ever got water in the basement, those things are done, even the ones that say they can handle moisture. The luxury vinyl are 100% waterproof. If you were to get water, you could literally unclick it, hang it out to dry, and then put it back down again. So it's pretty nice looking stuff. I mentioned my good friend Mike J. They just did their cottage with this stuff, and I was really impressed by how well it went down, and how nice it looks. The other real benefit to it, Jim, is that it's not a hard surface to stand on. So, you know, look, you can still in the basement maybe do an area rug or something like that if you want to warm it up. Right. But I really have no, especially in a below grade application, I think it's a win-win.
Well, the area this would be going, we're on a hill. We have a walkout basement, so we didn't finish the whole basement. Basement's about 2,400 square feet. We only did about 900. But yeah, the section where the vinyl would probably end up going is kind of almost dead grade because of the hill that we're on.
Yeah.
In other words, this stuff is not glued down. It's just
it clicks together and it lies there. But because, you know, here's the thing: your floor in your basement is not completely flat. Okay, where with the laminate floor, when you put it on top of concrete, if there's a little pocket in the floor or something like that, you'll almost get like a little slapping sound because it kind of bridges over the top. So now you walk on it, and there's this weird feeling. But with the vinyl, because it's a flexible material, eventually it just sort of takes the shape of whatever the floor is, and it feels very solid.
Well, it sounds like she might get her way. In fact, like I say, the commercial just before you went back on air from I used to shop at Fox when they had their old store years ago.
Sure.
I've been in there many, many times. I think we'll give them a look at this. Everlake.
11, 1150 South Cicero in Alsip, my friend.
See him all the time. Blue, appreciate you taking the call. You guys have a great weekend.
You too, Jim. Thanks so much for calling. It is 9:30 in the morning. Quick break, and then we'll get to news.
Hey, we've all got our areas of expertise. Lou's area just happens to be your house.
I've been listening to you for a few months now, trying to catch you saying something not quite right, but you got it all going on.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Hey, next Saturday, August 18th, I'm going to be at the Ace Hardware Fall Convention to broadcast House Smarts Radio live, presented by Never Measure and Wet and Forget. We'll get a first-hand look at all the new products that could be coming to an Ace Hardware store near you and give you even more tips on help you with your home improvement projects. We'll also have special giveaways for you to call in to win from our broadcast sponsors. Never Measure, easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast without a measuring tape. And Wet and Forget, easy cleaning solutions for everyday problems. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. John Williams is coming up at 10 o'clock this morning, so please stay tuned for his Saturday show. Doug is in Arlington Heights. Doug, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm great, sir. What's going on?
I currently have two downspout extensions that go onto my front lawn. One goes about 6 feet, one goes about 4 feet. And I want to put underground pipe about 10 feet out with one of those pop-up bubblers.
Okay.
And I'm concerned about winter and freezing and the pop-up not being able to open up to let the water out during those thaw days.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what your opinion was.
You should be concerned. So the real trick in this is, if you're going to do it now, when you say you're going to run this pipe underground, are you going to try and do it like under a sidewalk or something?
No, just right out into the front lawn.
Oh, okay, good. So, what's critical is that pipe that you're going to lay in whatever trench you're going to put in there is completely pitched correctly and flat. Because if there's any kind of sinking where you get a little bit of a dip in that pipe, that will freeze because you can't go deep enough, right? You can't get below the frost level.
Right.
And then it'll build up, and then you'll clog up on those days that the water doesn't come out. Now, there's also this, so there's a couple ways to do this, to kind of hedge your bet on all this. When you come up with that pipe, instead of driving the pipe into the, right into the pipe that goes underground, there's a little screen cap that you can buy that's on an angle where you'll, the downspout will come straight down and it'll just be a couple inches above that screen. Okay?
Okay.
The idea is that under normal circumstances, as the water drains, it'll come through that screen and then it'll go out that pipe and then hopefully that bubbler pops up and there goes your water. You're good to go. But if it ever did freeze, at least the water has someplace to go. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So
it'll spill on the like side of...
Is it like a catch basin under the downspout, or is it at the end of the downspout?
Imagine that pipe coming up out of the ground, and it's, you know, a couple inches above the ground, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an insert that goes in that fits inside that pipe, and then it's like a rectangular slanted roof that leans back towards the house, but it's all connected in the pipe, and it has a little screen on the top. Okay?
Okay.
And then the pipe comes down just above it, so any water under normal circumstances just drains out, goes into that screen, out to the pipe it goes. But if that were to freeze and that screen would freeze up or whatever, the water would splash there and at least be on the side of the house and not back up in your roof.
Right. Or if the pop-up bubbler has snow or ice on top of it and can't open up, it would be able to exit there.
Same thing.
Okay.
Those bubbler pots are great, but in our climate, you really do have to worry about snow and ice and having it, freeze, just exactly what you're concerned with. So dig that trench, put a little gravel at the base, tamp it down so it's nice and flat. Use whatever kind of, you know, probably a flexible drain tile that you're going to use underneath there to go out to the bubbler pot and pop it up, you know, make sure you've got enough pitch and everything, and it should work out just fine.
Okay, that sounds good. And this screen extension, is that something I can buy at one of the big box stores?
Probably. I'm trying to think of what it's called. It's called a downspout overflow, maybe. It's like this little screen that you'd go right over the top. I think it's for buried downspouts and for runoff. I'm just trying to see if I can find what it's called. But you don't want to seal it up at that pipe, because then if it backs up, it's going to go all the way up.
Right, into my gutters.
Into your gutters and then onto your roof.
Okay.
Downspout overflow filter, something like that, Doug.
Okay. All right. Great. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. Do we want to take a call or do we want to take a break? What would you like to do, boss? She's looking. Let's take a call. Let's talk to Roy in Plainfield. Roy, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you this morning?
I'm well, sir. What's going on in your world?
Well, number one, I wanted to say thank you for your shows. Both the radio and TV, you're great, and you've helped me out immensely with just listening. So I do.
Oh, you're very kind, Roy. Thank you very much. We try each week, so thank you very much.
Actually, you helped me a couple of months ago with a little project, but today I have a situation where I've got a concrete patio, and it was stained several years ago in a terracotta kind of color.
Okay.
But there are a couple of areas that are just slightly lower than the general area. So there's a little bit of retention of water in those areas. And they've stained blackish, dark. And I'm wondering if you have an idea of what I can do to clean those up so that it's all a consistent color.
Yeah. So it's probably the blackish is probably just a little buildup of mildew that's got absorbed into the stain.
Okay.
All right, two things I want you to try. I don't know that I want you to try this. Should I have you try this? I'm having an internal conversation with myself, Roy. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go buy a bottle of Concrobium Mold Stain Eraser. OK? Okay.
Mold stain eraser.
Eraser.
Okay.
You're going to take the entire bottle. You're going to mix it with a gallon of hot water. You're going to stir it up. You're going to stir it, and you're going to let it wear some gloves, and you're going to let it sit in the bucket for 10 minutes, and then you're going to stir it again. Then, with your rubber gloves, you're going to take a nylon brush, and you're going to dip it in there, and you're going to scrub that little low area, and I want you to have a spray hose with you ready, and once you scrub it and all that black comes up, rinse it right away.
Okay.
Before you go crazy on this spot, I want you to try a spot in a corner just to make sure it doesn't do any discoloration to the stain.
Okay.
If you have, like, a spot that's out of the way or under a table, just give it a little shot, scrub, scrub, scrub. Like, oh, wow, look at how clean that is. Spray, and if it looks good, then go at it with this, and that'll kill any of that mildew and mold and do a nice job for you.
Great.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown. I appreciate. I'm sorry?
Did you have another suggestion?
No, that'll work.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate it.
I appreciate you calling this morning, Roy. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you, the House Smarts Radio Show on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
Sweet Sugar Handyman. Or as you might know him, Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN.
Welcome back. Just a few minutes left. John Williams making his way into his studio in just a few minutes. Bob is in Schaumburg. Bob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I love your show. I have a problem with wasps entering my attic above my garage, and I can't seem to get them, get rid of them.
Do you see where they're coming in?
Yes. Yes, it's like a little crack in the soffit or fascia or whatever that is.
Right. And is that on a second floor or a first floor? Like, can you reach it?
It's on. Yeah, I can reach it.
Okay. Go to the hardware store and buy a foaming wasp spray.
I've already tried that, and it doesn't seem to affect them. They are coming in and out of my house.
Right. So I need you to do that in the evening, three nights in a row.
Okay.
Three nights in a row, and you need to, when you spray it, you need to get under that crack somehow. So even if you, is it wood siding, aluminum siding, vinyl siding? What is it?
Vinyl.
Okay. I need you, if you can, to take like a stick or something to kind of separate it a little bit, and I want you to stand there, and I want you to separate it, and I want you to hold the button, and I want you to count to five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then get off the ladder. Do that for three consecutive nights. Can you get up in that attic space at all?
Well, maybe in the fall I will, but I don't want to get up, you know, now. Or I guess I could try it.
Is there an access panel to it?
Yeah.
Okay. So how about this? Tonight, do the access panel with a bright light and see if you can see where the nest is on the inside in that corner. And if you can, typically those foaming sprays will spray about 20 feet. So you should be able to spray those and reach that far so that you can spray it on the inside and the outside. But the trick with the foaming spray, three consecutive days in a row, do it in the evening when they're all collected at the nest, and you should be able to eliminate the problem. Thanks so much for the phone call. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back. Time for Lou's last call. I mentioned last week, Lindsay, my wife said, don't forget to wish Tom Klumpkin a happy birthday. And so remember I said, hey, happy birthday, Tom Klumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
She goes, she said it's Tom Klumpkin's birthday. And she goes, oh, no, it's not his birthday yet. I go, well, that's not the text that you sent. You said, wish him a happy birthday. I think his birthday's today. So happy 80th birthday to my friend Tom Klumpkin and to his lovely wife who has been married to him for almost as many years. Good for them. Isn't that great? Our final caller this morning is Phil in Homer Glen. Hey, Phil. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
I have a question about a door. I have a door between my utility room and my kitchen.
that when I open it, it slowly drifts closed, and it's very inconvenient because the door we use quite often. What can I do to keep that door from drifting closed?
Okay, so you could go the whole route. Lindsay, what is the name of the door stopper with the magnet that we featured as a Noodaloo 2?
The door.
No slam.
No slam. No-slam.com.
Phil, I could have you all day to tighten the hinge and reset this. This guy came up with a door stop. You put the door stop on the base trim. You put the little metal on the back of the door. Click, it stays open.
But the door I can't open fully. There's like a cabinet behind it, so I get like three quarters of the door open.
Can you put the door stop on the cabinet?
Probably if I can put it on some kind of an angle.
You can.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this.
Purchase this app?
No, I think it's, what's, Lindsay, what's the website?
No-slam.com.
No-slam.com.
Okay, and I attach something to the door and a magnet to the cabinet.
Correct. You're done. Okay.
And
thanks, Phil.
What can I do about squeaky hinges?
I want you to do is spray Superzilla, which is an oil that won't attract dirt, and it will take the squeak away for sure. Superzilla.com, or you can find it at your hardware store. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Lindsay for producing, Domati on news, and Joe Brand on sports, and Ferguson for pushing all the buttons. And John Williams is coming your way. Good morning, Mr. Williams.
The Mr. Fix-It brand is so, I think, fixed in Chicago's mind that anytime anything goes wrong, people go, God, I wonder what Lou would do about this.
Oh, that's so nice.
Even when it's not Lou's real area of expertise. I was watching the White Sox game when they pulled that giant moth out of the umpire's ear, and I thought, I wonder how Lou would have handled this situation.
Oh, that was gross.
What was the appropriate plier? Do you go with the needle nose or maybe some other gadget that Lou knows about to pull moths out of ears?
Yeah, there actually is a gadget that we were going to do that's like a stick with a sticky thing on the side of it.
There
that gets
we
rid
go.
Of spiders and
it's
moths.
Happening. It's happening. I'm actually going to talk about that, tell that story, and take calls about similar incidents.